Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, as it has been read. We all wait. Life is full of waiting. We all look to the future, but it doesn't come. We have to wait. Children know about this, especially on Christmas Eve. The partiers in Times Square on New Year's Eve have to wait. Expectant parents who are told a made-up date, a due date, that really doesn't mean a lot. Expectant parents have to wait. Often, waiting isn't easy, especially when we don't have any idea when the event that we're looking forward to will happen. This was certainly the case for Simeon in our text. Israel was suffering. They had been suffering because of their sin. Israel was an occupied country. They were forced to pay taxes and to be obedient to a foreign nation, Rome. The sin of the nation was the sin of its people and its rulers and its religious leaders. There was no one exempt from blame. Everyone had, to a greater or lesser extent, forgotten or rejected God's loving covenant. Religious distortion, or worse, outright idolatry, had been woven in and through their history, and now they were suffering the consequences of their sin. Simeon had received a great blessing. We always assume that he was very old, but not necessarily. He could have been a young man, but either way, the blessing was given to him. It had been revealed to him, he was promised by God that he would live to see the Christ, the Messiah, whom God would send to set things right. That is why it says in the text he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the time when God would forgive and restore and comfort his people one final and enduring time. The time when the peace of God, the peace with God, would be freely given. The time when the truest nature of God's love would be revealed. Now, Simeon wasn't the only one waiting, and nor was he the first. Because God's people in every generation had longed for, had yearned for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first sinners, had heard the promise of God in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman would one day crush the head of Satan. And much to their disappointment, it wasn't in their firstborn Cain. But one day the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of Satan. Abraham, the great patriarch, heard the promise of God that through one of his descendants, all people on earth would be blessed. And the prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. But when would that be? When would it be that the seed of the woman, the descendant of Abraham, Emmanuel, the Messiah, would come? When would the consolation of Israel occur? It was hard to wait. God's timing is not our timing. Is that news to anybody here? God's timing is not our timing. It's certainly not mine. How often have we been reminded of that inconvenient and sometimes upsetting reality in our lives? We'd like things to happen now. And oftentimes God says, no, be patient. It's hard. But God's timing, his divine schedule, is always correct. And whether we like it or not, that is where our faith takes over. Whether we understand it or not, it is always true. And so, according to God's loving promise, the angel Gabriel was sent to Zechariah, serving in the temple, to reveal to him the birth of his son John. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary to reveal to her the birth of her son, Jesus. And God visited Joseph in a dream. The time had finally come. St. Paul writes it so beautifully. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we, and St. Paul includes himself there, we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, Jesus, the seed of the woman, Emmanuel, had come. And Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, can you imagine? And acknowledged that the promise had come to him and to all mankind. All of the promises had been fulfilled. He declared that now God's salvation was for all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's why today is Candlemas. A light to lighten the Gentiles, as Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And even next week in the gospel lesson, where we hear Jesus telling us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. What a wonderful revelation that this is, and it's so important for us because we are not all direct descendants of Abraham biologically. But yet we also need a Savior. And so Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, culminating his death on the cross and his resurrection on Easter was for us too. All of our sins, like Israel of old, because of all of our sins, we would be lost forever unless the promise of God was kept in sending Jesus. We all wait. Life is full of waiting. And as we now have crept a little bit into this new calendar year, a year into which we cannot see very far with certainty, what do? We wait. We wait for God's love, his care, and his forgiveness. We wait for his comfort and his protection, all delivered through his son, Jesus. And so, like Simeon, we hold Jesus today through his holy word and blessed sacraments, in and through which he is truly present with us today. In and through which we find peace. In and through which we live in peace. In and through which we share peace. And our time of waiting is done. And so we will, like Simeon, promised by God, we all will depart in peace. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.